Okay, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. Okay, well, God is just going to get us right. Me too, I'm in this. I answer my own altar calls. I just believe in doing that. But here is Samuel. He was a prophet in the land, and if you study his life story, his mother couldn't have children and then had children and dedicated him and took him to the temple and left him, and he was raised and he saw the ins and outs of the priesthood, the good side and the not so good side. And he went on to, just be a very mighty, mighty person. And one of his duties later in his life was to, the people wanted a king. So God gave them Saul. And Samuel was one that went and anointed Saul under God's direction and said, okay, the people want a king. I'm going to give him a king. This guy is good to look at. He's great and all that, charming on the outside. So go over there, Samuel, and anoint this guy king. So Samuel did. And then there were some problems, and God stepped away from Saul. Saul stepped away from God. And so Samuel was, kind of infers that Samuel was struggling with that. And he says, the Lord says, how long are you going to mourn for that thing? Well, when God instructs us to do something, when God wants us to accomplish a task, to go do something, and then when that thing is over and it looks like defeat in my eyes, I'll mourn over that thing. There was a day when I had my dream house, and then economy crashed, and I lost my dream house. I mean, I mourned over that. It's just a house, but it was a nice one, something I'd hoped for all my life. And then there was a season. I lost my husband. I don't know if many of you know this. I'm a widow now. I lost my husband to Lou Gehrig's disease, and we married late in life, and I had almost 11 years with him. I mourned. It didn't mean what I had wasn't wonderful. It meant when it came to an end, it was hard, and I had to deal with that. Some of us are mourning now, maybe not the death of someone, or maybe even the death of someone. But some of us are mourning different things. And the Lord said to him, how long are you going to do that? He gives us a season, quite honestly. He gives us a season of time. I remember coming out of my husband's, the time of his death, his illness was 2.5 years from diagnosis to death. Lou Gehrig's is a very difficult, horrible disease, as all diseases are. But coming out of that death, I didn't even know I didn't know my name, hardly, being the caretaker and all those kind of things. And I remember the Lord said, you can either sit here in this state, or you can start to go forward and make progress and come to the other side of this. Well, part of that, I was confused. I didn't want to lose the wonderful memories, so if I came to the other side of it, am I going to lose that too? Which I didn't. But there's, you're not in a good place when you're, it's like Samuel, how long will you mourn? And seeing that I have rejected him, you didn't do anything. I did it, Samuel. The Lord took my husband home. We live in these bodies that don't last really long. But we have the hope in heaven and the belief in heaven and eternity. And so then he says, fill thine horn with oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. The horn then was just a vessel. Let me say it to you this way. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit right now. Whatever you're going through or have gone through, the Lord says, I've been in charge. Now fill yourself with the Holy Spirit so you can get on with what I need you to do. Don't be empty. Don't raise your hand. Well, you can if you want. How many have been empty? I'm raising my hand. I've been empty. There have been times where it felt dry and it felt empty and it felt, and I didn't know that anybody else could really see it, and I was kind of embarrassed and didn't want to say that about my own life and all that kind of stuff. And so the Lord comes, as I've used this illustration before here, with his great big thumb, and he puts his thumb on it.
fill it up, you're empty.
Oh, I didn't know anybody knew. I've been able to do what I've always done, but I wasn't ready for the new task ahead. I could keep doing what I'd already done and keep in that. Sooner or later, though, everybody's going to grow past me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The body of Christ doesn't stand still. I might, but not God. And so he said, and I will send thee to Jesse. I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel says, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. In that state, when I am not full of the Holy Spirit, I am moved by everything around me. Oh, he'll kill me if he sees it. Because now, you know, Saul knows he's in trouble. And I, you know, Samuel being the highest religious, if I can say it, godly authority in the land, when Samuel moved about, people knew that. When God moves, have you, in this last great move of God we had, we would hear, hey, did you hear about that service over there? Did you hear God showed up over here? Did you? And we wanted that. We wanted to be wherever he was. And I want to be wherever he is. I want to be able to recognize where he's at. I don't want to just come to his house. I mean, I need to do that. We need to do that. But I don't want to just come to his house. I want to make sure he's home. And I want you to bring your portion of him with you when you come. Because when we all get together, there is a power and a faith and something that happens. That's why we need to come together. I can't get that alone in my own house. It's a little bit safer because I don't have to deal with people. You're not rubbing off my rough edges and I'm not rubbing off yours, and it's just God and I, and it's wonderful. But I'm totally unbalanced. I need you. And you need me.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. We will be a group right here. It's the only amen. No, I'm teasing. So he said, how can I go? He'll kill me. And the Lord said, so the Lord gave him away. He said, take a heifer and say that you've come to sacrifice and call Jesse and do a sacrifice there. And I'm skipping. There's a lot of scripture today. I want you to go back and read this story. It is amazing. And I will show you what to do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. I want the whole package. All right, I don't mind going. I'll fill up the, you know, myself with the Holy Spirit. But tell me what we're going to do when we get there. He doesn't do that. He says, just get there. Just get there. Okay, so get there, and the elders of the town were all shaken up because here's Samuel coming, and you know, they're wondering, is he coming peaceably or is he coming, you know, when God shows up, and you just don't have a problem with this. When God shows up, is he happy? Meaning, let me back up and say it another way. When I worship him and I move in praise and then into worship, he will always reveal me to me, not out of punishment, not out of his displeasure in me. It's out of me then being able to say, oh, Lord, yes, change that. I'm in such a vulnerable moment in worship, and usually most always such a tender heart. My answer is immediately yes. Oh, yes, Lord, I give that to you. He writes that down somewhere. And a month or two later, I'm going through it. And I said, Lord, what's happening? Why? Why is it so tough right now? He said, remember back in Idaho on that Sunday morning when you sang that song and I said this to you, I'm calling for it now. Most of the time it's, woe is me. Oh my gosh, it's so horrible. I'm in a tough time. Instead of, Lord, okay, this seems pretty tough. What's going on? Ask him. We need to just ask him. I remember my husband at one point said to me, honey, have you asked the Lord if I'm going to live or am I going to die? I had already gotten the word. It's not lack of faith. I promise you it is not lack of faith. I believe in healing, prayed for people, they've been healed. My husband sat and I had to lift his hand and put it on people in the last days of his life. And he prayed for them and they were healed. We believe in healing. But we also know that the Lord at times says, come home. Your job, your task well done. I don't get that. I don't see it. It's always such a huge loss. And in my grief, I don't see that. I don't understand that God has a working table that I don't understand completely, except I just trust him. I have to trust him. And so I remember when he asked me that, and I couldn't tell him. I said, baby, I will pray for you till the last breath until death. When that last breath comes, then I will rejoice you are in the arms of Jesus. That was hard. Hard assignment. Hard time. Hard season. I'm not in that season right now. Lord said, fill the horn with oil. You've got business you've got to do for me. There's more for you to do still. Don't sit in the corner and die. So anyway, that's Samuel. So here he is, and Jesse is bringing his sons and the first three, let's see, let me look and see if I can give you a verse. And it came to pass, verse 6, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. It was practical. It was logical. That was the oldest son. He should become king. But God doesn't move practically or logically. He moves godly. Unrelated to our reasoning and our thinking. So then the next son came, and it wasn't him. And then the third son came, and it wasn't him either. And I can't imagine being Samuel. Okay, now I'm risking it. I can't let Saul really know why I'm here. Now I'm here. The oldest son, I thought it was just going to be a quick deal. Come in, oldest son, yep, you're going to be king. Blessings to y'all. I'm headed back to safety. That's what I would think. Okay, now we're down three. How many sons does this man have? And they're all passing before thee. And it's not happening. And Samuel said unto Jesse in verse 11, are here all thy children? There remaineth yet a youngest one. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes. I'm not worried so much about Saul. I am now worried God sent me on an assignment and it's not completed. And I am not leaving till it's done. I am not getting up from prayer till I have a breakthrough. I am not going to let you go until you're out of the influence of the enemy. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you abuse me. I'm going to have healthy boundaries. But if you're walking in the steps where the enemy's leading you right now, I'm not going to let you go. Does that make sense? I'm not going to let you go. We're going nowhere and no one's eating till we get our breakthrough, is basically what he was saying. And now he was ready and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. That Holy Spirit in me that I need to fill myself with in prayer, and I seek him and in surrendering to him and yielding to the Holy Spirit. When my horn is full, he will always ask me to pour it. It isn't just for me. And so he said, pour the horn of oil and anoint him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went back home. And it's interesting, there's only one other time that we hear about him, Samuel, being used in the Old Testament. This was one of his last greatest jobs in the Lord. And so it said then in 14 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit came and troubled him. And so Saul was now really in bad straits. You have to go back. I don't have time today to give you Saul's history. But, you know, how does a king fall? What an incredible message that would be. I can't wait to get that one. But, you know, so Saul, and God departed, stepped back from him and let Saul have his way. Let Saul be Saul. Saul wanted to be Saul and do his own thing. And so there was an evil, you know, we don't, when we're not close to the Lord, when I choose to go and do my own thing, I don't do that without the enemy right there with me. Does that make sense? I can't just say, okay, God, I want you over here, and enemy, I want you over here, and this little part's just me. It doesn't work that way. I either have God or I have the enemy. And so here they were, Saul being troubled. David's out tending. David has just been anointed king, but goes back out to shepherd the sheep and do what he has always done. Well, not always, but what he has done since his assignment began, to shepherd the sheep. It was always the duty of the younger child in the family to take care of the sheep. And when that, if another child was born, when that one got old enough, then the one that was tending would go on and do other things, and the younger one would take it. So he was the younger one. He was tending sheep, not because God had set him out there necessarily, but because that was his position in the family. And God will use wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God will use it in your grooming, in your maturity. Every incident and situation, good or bad, that's come into your life can be a part of your anointing if I submit it into the Holy Spirit, into the oil of the Holy Spirit. It will become a part of my anointing. Because Scripture tells me that he will take the bad things and turn them for good. I don't believe God brings bad things on us just so we can minister to people. I believe that everything in our life can be a part of our anointing, a part of our call, can be used to help ourselves and help people. So here's Saul, and he's having a hard time. And his servants in verse 16, let our Lord now command the servants which are before you to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon you that you shall play with his hand, he shall play with his hand, and that thou shall be well. They were seeing the torment in Saul, and they were seeing that he couldn't find rest from this torment. He was mentally starting to really struggle. And so they knew that something had to come in and soothe that spirit to deal with that. And so music is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool in the hands of God's people. It's a powerful tool in the hands of the enemy. It has the ability to go one way or the other. Does that make sense? And so anyway, David was called, and he was called and he was brought in to Saul, and he played. That was my understanding by reading and searching out some history here. My understanding is that was his first really entrance to the palace, the kingship area. And he went in, and what he saw, he couldn't model himself after. He knew he was going to be king. He had been anointed. He didn't know how that was going to happen. I remember the Lord giving me a word, just a powerful word, that you would teach and you will do this, that. And it was 16 years later before that ever came to be. I thought he had forgotten it, or it was, you know, somebody just messed up. It really wasn't a word, you know. Because it didn't happen in my time frame. I wanted it now. And I wasn't ready then. I just wasn't. It wouldn't have worked. Trust me. Would not have been a good thing. So anyway, here he is, and he's brought in before this king who is now troubled. But he does what he's learned to do as a shepherd. And he plays on his harp, and he worships, and he brings the presence of the Lord into that situation, and peace comes. So let me jump forward here. So anyway, he's doing that, and then the battle is on, and we have a Goliath on the scene. They're at war. They've got Israel is at war with the Philistines. Israel's king is really struggling. He's not of sound mind. So here they are, and they're set up, and they're at war, and the enemy has a giant. And he has a giant, they have a giant that has a huge, loud voice. They said in some of the history books that I read that the giant was 11 feet, 4 inches, I think it said. 11, big. I mean, his armor and all that just weighed. It was just massive. And so he's out shouting at the children of Israel. You know, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed your bodies to the beasts of the air, and I'm going to take you down, and you're going to be our slaves, and all this kind of stuff. And Saul and the army of Israel are afraid and dismayed. 40 days this kept going on and on. And on. And he would come out, the giant would come out, and he would shout it. And you know, they're all waiting for him to appear. And I mean, you know, we're talking, you know how we are when the parade's going to happen? That's just a one-day thing, and it's a happy thing. Oh, we're so excited. Oh, can you imagine? I mean, they were people like us. Didn't have the modern conveniences, of course, that we have, but they were people. They thought and felt like we did. And so here's David. He's back doing what he does, tending the sheep, taking care of the sheep, making sure they're safe, being responsible, being able to feed them so they don't die, just taking his task and doing it well. See, I want to go to work, and I want to get paid, but I don't want to do the work. Does it make sense? I feel like, you know, in this season of time, one of the difficulties that we are facing is the sense of entitlement. I'm entitled. I'm entitled to nothing. It is God in me and his blessing. But there's a sense of entitlement. You know, I should have it just because I'm me. Am I right? Some of you who are a little bit older, closer to my age, understand that. So, I won't stay there because that's not pleasant. So we have this in our land today, and God's going to deal with it, and it's not going to look good because we're not entitled to anything, and we didn't get it the last crash. And I don't know that it's going to be a crash like it was, the economy and everything. We called it blessed. And in some ways, you know, we were blessed, but we were also greedy. I was. I didn't have gobs of stuff and lots of money, but I had far more than I ever needed and far more than what would have been deemed blessing. And then I wanted more on top of that. And then everything crashed. And God used it to bring us back to balance. He doesn't want us to be poverty minded. We are a blessed people. He doesn't want the poverty, but he doesn't want us to be in a place of entitlement, which then is a cousin to greed. Does that make sense? So David is out there. David's doing what he needs to do. Goliath is doing what he does. And by the way, don't be shocked when you see people who do not know the Lord and they're doing some horrible things. That's what people do who do not know the Lord. They just do. And then as they come into know the Lord, their life begins to change. We don't change them. As they come closer to the Lord and know the Lord more, their life changes. So here we are again. So let me get to David. David's father calls him in and says, take some stuff, take some supplies to the first three brothers who saw him being anointed. Remember that. The first three brothers that were named, they were out on the battlefield. And so David shows up on the battlefield and he asks what's going on. First of all, let me tell you this. He left his sheep tended to. When he arrived there, and if you read every little phrase, he, whatever method of travel he had someone take care of that. He just didn't get caught up in the moment and forget to be responsible. He had learned that tending sheep. There are some things that we learn that we will never get away from because we're not supposed to. They're supposed to be a part of us. Make your bed every morning. Brush your teeth.
I don't like doing all that stuff.
Well, if I can start you out young, it's going to build. It isn't about making your bed and brushing your teeth. Not when you're 25. You know, hopefully you got it by then, but you know what I'm saying. So those kind of things teach me responsibility, teach me a sense of a value of what God has given me. You know, so here he is, and he's sent now to battle, and he comes in, and he, you know, everything is just a mess there. You can tell the people are scared, and David wants to know what's happening, and his brothers give him a bad time. His brothers are jealous. They know he was anointed king, but they didn't really understand what that meant. And so here he is, he shows up at the battle, and he is upstaging them just by being there. Sometimes you just walk into a restaurant and someone who is serving you, or in a grocery store or wherever, they just have a real problem with you. And all you're doing is breathing. They are having a divine encounter with the God that lives in you, and they didn't vote yes on that. You're just breathing. But wherever you go, you take him. And he always brings light to darkness. They don't want light. And so here's this. So I always say, oh, that one's marked. See how crabby they are? They're marked for God. Otherwise, they wouldn't be crabby. Does that make sense? They wouldn't react. If I'm not marked, you know, if I'm not marked, it's not my moment, and God just let me do this thing over here, I am not going to care who you are. But when I have a reaction, why? Something's going on. So notice that next time. I love to just figure out how I can make conversation. Anyway, that's... I need to go out and tend the sheep some more, I think. But anyway, so here they are, and Lord, help me with this part. David sees this. David's been in battles before of his own, not like this. And he says, well, why? Why are we tolerating this? So he says, I'll take care of this. And so Saul calls him in and says, oh, okay, so you're just a young lad. How are you going to do this? It isn't about age. It isn't about age. One of the greatest things in this next move is the church is multi-generational. And we're all needed and we're all used. Whether we're 2 years old or we're as old as we can be before he takes us home. We're all important. If you think, well, I'm a little bit older, I'll just sit back and let some of the other ones do it, you are wrong thinking. Now, you may not go out and plow the field and mow the yard. You know, we might get, he's going to do that for us right there, right? Because he's young and strong. But I will be doing something else that is just as, in this one too, he's a strong one. You have a tender heart. You really have a tender heart. And God is going to guard that through all the days of your life. He has called you to be sensitive. He's called you to be kind. Sometimes that's a hardship for you because you think, I'm just kind of, I'm not like everybody else. And the Lord said, but I've called you because you will hear my heartbeat, says the Lord. You will sense and feel and be able to tell the atmosphere around you. And these things you may not understand right now, but one day you will. And the Lord says, I have called you and I have set you aside for me, and you will be one that will discern great things that I do in this land. you will be one that will bring a word of deliverance. And you'll bring it in such a way with kindness and love that people aren't even going to understand they've been set free until after the fact. Because you're not going to browbeat them. You're not going to come at them really ugly. You're going to come at them with kindness. So Lord's going to bless you this year. Really bless you. There's been something on your heart that you've wanted. I don't know what it is. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. Thank you, Lord. So Saul calls him in. He says, you're too young. You're too little. You're too this, that, and the other thing. And then Saul says, oh, well, why not, basically. Now, remember, Saul's not in good mind. Saul's very troubled. And he didn't even at that point remember that this was David that went in and played the harp. He just couldn't remember that. So here they are, and David goes out, and Saul offers him all of his equipment. And David says, I haven't tried that. I haven't proven that. I'm not putting on that armor. I'm not going to step into something that I don't know for sure God has called me to do. Does that make sense? When I know that, I will step into it. I will carry it. I will put it on. And so he goes back and he picks up the 5 stones, and you know the story well if you've known the Lord for a little while. He goes and he picks up the 5 stones, and he's got the sling, and he walks up to the giant, and the giant is so, Goliath is so upset that there'd be this little skip of a person challenging him. I think he let his guard down. Wow, why would you send something like this to take care of me? The pride and the arrogance of this thing. And David gets a sling, puts the rock in it, and slings it, and he runs toward the giant. In our fear, our humanistic or our natural instinct is to run away from something. But he didn't. So when fears come up, whatever your fear might be, we're all flesh. We've got that flesh side of us. We get scared of things. Some people, I don't like to drive on the freeway. Okay, so wait till the middle of the night when there's hardly any cars and go out and practice. Don't let it own you. Don't let your fears own you. Am I right? All right. Pastor said. Yes. And run towards it and conquer it. Don't let it chase you, whatever the fear is. That's killing giants. And so David says to Saul, he says, well, I'm not afraid to do this because I kill the lion and the bear. And the truth is, in the progression for us to slay our giants, I must kill the lion and the bear. The lion and the bear are the things that come in and try to steal from me. They were trying to take the sheep. The things that I am in charge of, I'm over, my possessions, my homes, my cars, my this, my paychecks, my this and that and the other thing. Those are the lion and the bear want to come in and get those from us. It doesn't take a giant. They just want to come in and devour it. Just take it. And if I will fight that, okay, let me be wise in finances. Let me use wisdom with the possessions that the Lord has given me. I cannot drive my car and never change the oil. I mean, it sounds silly, but if you think about it and think all the way through this, I want to defeat the lion and the bear, or I'm never going to be able to take care of the giant. The giant is a whole different situation. The giant came in and mentally tormented the children of Israel. He convinced them he could kill them. He convinced them that they were not going to make it. He convinced them that they were not strong. It is the mental thing that goes on that is the giant. If I believe that I am not going to make it, and I believe that long enough, I won't make it. Does that make sense? And so I have to come in and kill or put that thing out. Take it out. When he threw the stone, it hit him in the head. Interesting, isn't that? Because it's a mental thing. That's our giants. It hit him in the head, it knocked him down, and then he went. He didn't have a sword. He just picked up what the enemy was going to use against him and cut his head off. That killed him. So when the enemy comes in and he says, Judy, you can't do this. You know what? You don't have a word for these people. These people don't want to hear what you've got to say. What are you doing here? You should be back home working. You know you're going to go back home to bills. And you know you don't get, you know. And, you know, and you now you got a lot of miles on this car. And this car's got to last you until you die. And da 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 da. I hope not. I like cars. But, you know, and so that's the giant. Well, you know, you're not going to have enough money from paycheck to paycheck. Not going to have enough kids to fill my school, which is a lie from the pit of hell, because you are. Not going to succeed. I'm not this. I've been breathing pretty well, but, you know, maybe tomorrow I won't be. That's the giant. And we are slaying the giants in our life. We are slaying them. But I have to take care of the lion and the bear. And when I conquer those things, when I believe that God is my provider, when I believe that God is my source, not the paycheck, not the job that I work at. Yes, you need to go and do what you do and do it well. But that's not my source. Yes, I need to fellowship, even with those people I don't like. Kill that bear and lion, not the people, just that, you know, that thing that rises up that would want to rob me from doing an excellent job and growing in health. When I do that, when I have those things under my belt that I know he is my I know, and I know when he says tithe, which he does, and I learned that many years ago, tithe and blessings will come. I don't tithe because blessings come. I tithe because he tells me to. I don't tithe because it looks like I have money. On paper, things don't work for me real well. Does that make sense? Yeah, we all raise our hand on that one, God. So we're going to kill that lion or bear, whatever that is, so that we can deal with the giant. So that when our kids are growing up and they're making choices, or a family member becomes ill and the enemy wants to come in and see, you deserve that. No, that's a giant. Cut his head off. Don't let that ever own you. It owned the children of Israel for 40 days. Actually, longer than that, because they feared the giants of the land for a long, long time. And the Philistines didn't have enough confidence in their self, so they pulled in this giant so that they wouldn't have to really battle. Well, it's interesting. When I kill my giants in my life, when I take that thinking out, just like David, when the giant went down and he cut his head off, all the children of Israel rose up and started to pursue the enemy. And there was victory then, and they took out the enemy. And something happened in the children of Israel that they no longer were afraid. They were set free. They were back into battle. They were ready to move, and they were ready to go forward. And they did what they needed to do. But they needed a David. They needed somebody that came in and said, wait a minute. Same-sex marriage in our land? Oh, our land's going down, let me tell you. Oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be... No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, you're a minister. What are you going to do if you're going to have to marry him? I'm not. And please, I hope I'm not offending. I don't mean to offend anybody. Our nation is pretty shaky right now. God isn't. God is not. He's not surprised at anything that's going on. He's just not. So he's saying, okay, what's my army? What's my army doing? Are they listening to Goliath and being dismayed and afraid? Give me a David. Give me a David out of the bunch, and we'll turn this thing in seconds, the Lord says. Give me someone who's killed their bear and their lion. A Goliath won't move them. They will run right into it and take him right down. And that's who we are. We are the Davids in this generation, and we're taking Goliath down.
Yes.